I was thinking about an introduction for you, Sven, and I think I'm just not going to give one. I think I'm just going to invite Sven, Axel, Conrad to please come and speak. Sven was with us a couple of years ago, you might remember. He'd been through some difficulties and has walked through those difficulties. He's been ministering in our community in a variety of settings, and I don't think that I've ever heard anybody express what was in my heart about church unity and about working together so strongly until I heard Sven speak again. You know, and Sven, it's in his heart as well. And so that's why I'm just so glad to have him be with us today and share his message. So would you please welcome Sven Axel Conrad, please.
Thank you so much, my brother. Good morning. It's an honor for me to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor Steve, for inviting me to come back here. As your pastor said, I was here for some years ago, the first time. After walking through the valley of death, after having some turbulent situations in my life, losing my son and my wife, I really was knocked off my feet, and I never thought I'd be able to stand up again. And I never thought I'd be back in ministry. Standing here is only by the grace of God. I have nothing else but the grace of God to boast about. He raised me up, and he gave me a new ministry. Some of you maybe heard my story. I've been a missionary in Africa, Tanzania, East Africa, for many years, a pastor in Denmark. I grew up as a missionary kid, born in China, raised up in Africa. I've been on the highest mountains. I've seen the most miraculous things that God has done, communities turning to Christ. I've seen a new built mosque fall under the power of God and collapse. The whole congregation turning to Jesus from Islam to Christ. I've seen miracles that if I started telling about them, we should be here all day and night, I think. But I've also been in the deepest valleys where I thought God had left me and abandoned me. But through his grace, he raised me up. And 3 years ago, when I was in Tanzania, I saw my beloved country going under the attack of the radical Muslims, the Al-Shabaab, like the Boko Haram and Islamic State, wanted to take over that nation. They started killing pastors, bishops, setting ablaze to churches, and fear spread in the country. And in the middle of all this, God called me from, I nearly said the depths of the earth, from the deep shadow, from the valley of the shadow of death, and said, I'm calling you to go back and unite my people in order to heal the nation. And what he spoke to me was about the power of unity in the body of Christ. And I really believe that we have power to change the destiny of any nation. And I would recall, I'm going to speak more about this tonight, not so much this morning, but I just want to tell you that you remember Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But he said, I'll build my church. He spoke of one church. He has one body. Amen. We all remember when he came to this earth. In Hebrews it says, you prepared a body for me. And Jesus was prepared in heaven, and he came down to earth and incarnated as a man, as a human being. He became man for us. He had a body. When he was on this earth, he lived here for 30 years and ministered for 3 years. He used his feet to walk on the roads of Palestine. He used his hands to lay them on the sick. He used them to comfort the grieving. He blessed the little children with his hands. Jesus spoke the words of encouragement, the words of the kingdom when he was here. But after finishing all this, he was crucified, laid in a grave, and raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Our Jesus is alive today. 40 days after the resurrection, he ascended to heaven. His body was not present on this earth any longer. But in that moment, a new body was born on this earth, the body of Christ. We are his representatives today. We are his ambassadors today. We are his feet to go to the neighbor, to bring food to the homeless, to bring comfort to the grieving, to lay our hands on the sick as Jesus did. He has no other hands on this earth than yours and mine. Amen? But he only has one body. He doesn't have an African body, an American body. He doesn't have a Lutheran body, and a Catholic body, and a Pentecostal body, and a Baptist body. He has one body. And I believe everyone who confesses Jesus is my Lord belongs to his body. Amen. We have our traditions. We have built our walls. We have often hidden behind our walls instead of bringing the gospel out to the nations and to the society. We sit behind our walls and thank God that we are saved and forget about the world. But God has called us all together to unite and to change the destiny of any nation. And I have seen it in Africa. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you isolate each other from one another. Did he say that? But that you love, have love for one another. And I believe the love of Christ is what is going to conquer this world. The world is in a mess. And it's never been more messy than today. Some of you would remember after the Second World War, they created something called the United Nations. And the shouts of the people of the earth was, never again should there be any war on earth. After the genocide in Rwanda, 1994, people stood up and said, never again should there be a genocide. But if we look at the world and the situation of the world today, it has never been more messy. In Europe, even here, I think. And you know, no matter which government rules in any nation, there is no politics that can take out the hatred from the hearts of man. No government can change the mindset. But I know the one who can, Jesus, who came, amen? He can change the world. And he wants to change the world through his body. But we have to be united. And I was reminded of the word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people, and his people today is his body, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn away from their wicked ways, God says he will hear it in heaven and he will forgive our sins, even our sins of separation, our sins of dividing the body of Christ. And we need to ask forgiveness. And I will heal the land. Amen. And this is what really struck me when God called me back to ministry 3 years ago. He said, he can heal the land. Amen. But the solution to heal the land, he wants to use the vessel, the tool he has on earth, his body. Yes. Amen. Yes. So brothers and sisters, be encouraged. He wants to use you to change the destiny of the U.S. and the world. And I've been traveling now as an ambassador for peace and reconciliation, not only in Africa. I recently came back from Malaysia. And when I was there, they said, this is what Malaysia needs. I had conferences for pastors and meetings. I was in a Chinese church in Kuala Lumpur. When I told them that my parents had been missionaries in China for 16 years and that I was born in China, you should have seen them. They went crazy. You're one of us. And I'm invited to China now. So next spring, I'm going to China. I'm going to Malaysia. I'm going to Cambodia, to Indonesia and the Philippines, just because I visited Malaysia. So it's kind of exploding. Tonight, I'm going to speak about what happened in Tanzania because of the unity of the people. We were on the brink of a civil war, and everyone in the country feared a bloodshed and a civil war at the elections in October. We've had a Muslim president for 10 years, and 10 years prior to this, you never saw a woman or a girl in Tanzania wearing a niqab or a veil, but today you find them everywhere. Some are paid to wear it. I could tell you many stories about that, I won't. But there was a threat of Tanzania becoming one of the next Islamic states ruled by Sharia. And God told me, you can change the situation by uniting the people of God, and if they pray, we will see changes. So we pray. I traveled more than, 22,000 miles last year in all the major cities of Tanzania, gathering all bishops and leaders from the denominations, every denomination, and said, now it's a time to stand together. It couldn't have happened for 5 years ago because of the crisis in the nation. God had prepared it. So we sat together, we were together, and we started praying. We prayed, God give us a prevailing peace. Let us not have a civil war. But many predicted it. Many of the expatriates in the nation, they took what they called an emergency vacation and weren't there at the time of the elections. Everybody feared a war and a bloodshed. And the opposition, they had said, if the ruling party will win again, we're going to take up arms. They announced it. And every city I came to, I came to the city the same time as the presidential candidates. I saw the riots and what was happening. And then we gathered the Christians, the leaders, and said, it's time to stand together for prayer. And we prayed. It wasn't easy. Came to one city called Bukoba, the western part of Tanzania. 3 hours after our conference, 6 churches were set ablaze by the Muslims. And their leaders had been at our conference. There were 2 Lutheran churches, 1 Catholic church, and 3 Pentecostal churches in the same city. And it spread like fear. But I told the people, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. So in the time of crisis, when the Christians stand together, we have seen. And I'll share with you tonight about it. But very shortly, we have peace in the country. We have a Christian president. A week after he was elected. Now think of, we had a president who was a Muslim for 10 years. The week after John Magufuli was elected, you see him on national TV walking to the major hospital in Dar es Salaam praying for the sick from bed to bed. I understand your enthusiasm. Wow, this is something, it's mind-blowing. No one ever thought that could happen. And God has given us peace in the nation. So everybody says that it's because of the Christians coming together and praying. And now I hear you have a National Day of Prayer. Don't underestimate what's going to happen when the Christians stand together and pray. He can change the destiny of this nation. And let us believe together that America will come back to God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's our goal. That's what we pray for. One of the last days, if I start talking about the miracles that I've experienced just the last year, it's been incredible. Some of you here were at the Ministerial Association last year. I was here in April, I think. I'll never forget my brother Gary. Have you heard what happened?
No, tell us.
Has no one here heard what happened? Don't you know you're living in the Acts of the Apostles here in North County? I just want to share. Is it okay I share? I shared about the vision, bringing the people of God together, shared a little of what I was doing in Tanzania, and then we had a time of prayer. We were sitting at the golf club, I think, at tables. And then suddenly my brother came over and said, I feel led to speak in tongues over you. He laid his hand on my shoulder and started speaking Swahili. Swahili, that's my language. He didn't know. And he said, I have given you the mandate and the authority to do what you're doing right now. And he repeated it three times.
Whoa.
When he started praying, I closed my eyes. When I heard Swahili, I opened my eyes. And I just waited for him to finish. And when he finished, I said, do you know what you said? And he said, no, I was speaking in tongues. No, you're speaking Swahili. And he said, what is Swahili?
Yeah.
It happened right here last year. Isn't he amazing?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
2 days before I left Tanzania, I was sitting in Arusha, the northern part of Tanzania, and a man was sitting at the same table. He was dressed as a Muslim priest. And I think he saw that I was a little anxious because I moved away from him. You hear so many things about suicide bombers and things like that, you know, and actually I am, by the grace of God, fighting spiritually against what he stands for, or what I thought he stood for. Then he said, I can see you're afraid of me. Don't be afraid, I'm your brother. I believe in Jesus, I'm saved. He told me that. And then I sat down and heard his story, and it was amazing. So I made an interview with him. His name was Athuman Ramadan. He was a very radical Muslim preacher. And he was traveling the whole country speaking against Jesus, against Christianity, and he hated the Christians and wanted to kill them. One night, Jesus came to Athuman in a dream. And he said, Athuman, why are you persecuting me? And he told me, I took up a stick and I chased Jesus away and said, Satan, get out of here. The next evening, he had the same dream, the next night, and he chased Jesus away. And it happened three times. And then Jesus didn't appear to me any longer, he said. One day, and this is amazing. One day, I was walking on the streets of Kigoma. Kigoma is a city where Henry Morton Stanley met David Livingstone for many, many years ago. I was walking on the street, and suddenly Jesus appeared to me physically. It was not a dream. Jesus Christ stood in front of me and said, Athumani, I've tried to call you in dreams three times, but you chased me away and said, Satan, get out. Why are you persecuting me? I've come to save you. And as he heard Jesus speak those words to him, he knelt down on the street and accepted Jesus as his Savior.
Amen.
His dad was one of the leaders of the mosque. And when he and the others heard that he had accepted Christ, they decided to kill him. So he fled into the forest of the western Tanzania for 3 months. He came to a refugee's camp where he met a pastor who prayed for him and baptized him. And he said, today I am an evangelist. I wear my clothes as if I am an imam, because on Fridays I go into the mosque and I evangelize secretly. And he told me now, I have a Bible study every Friday night at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. And now I have 14 imams or Muslim priests who have accepted Christ, and I teach them the gospel. And I feel led to buy 50 Bibles and give to this man because he is going to do this. And then he said something very shocking. He took my hand and he said, brother, I want to tell you something. Today, because of the Islamic State, because of Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab, hundreds of thousands of Muslims are fleeing to Jesus Christ. And then he said another thing that shocked me. I thank God. Is it okay?
No. You're messing with me, man. You're messing with me. But I love you. Yes, you're good. Now, straight.
And then he said, I thank God for the Islamic State and their brutality and what they're doing, because they are causing hundreds of thousands to come to Jesus today. Just before I left Denmark, you've heard about all the refugees who come to Europe, and many are so scared and afraid, and what are we going to do? I used to tell the Christians and the body of Christ, this is an opportunity to bring the gospel to those who would never have heard it in their homeland. And the last evening before I left to go to Malaysia, I was standing in a church surrounded by Muslims. I had preached the gospel. They came from Syria and Iran. And it ended up me praying for them to accept Jesus as their Savior. And I would never forget that evening. These former Muslims were embracing me. Tears were running down their cheeks. My shirt was wet of their tears. And they said, now we have found Jesus the Messiah, and he has forgiven us our sins. And they were so happy. And this happens right now. I've heard of churches in Denmark who baptized 25 Muslims in April. 35, 20, 22, 17. It's happening today. And what Satan caused to be chaos, Christ can turn it into a revival. Amen. And I hear that in Iran today, millions are accepting Jesus in the underground church. I was invited to Iran, to a city called Shiraz. I haven't gone there yet, but a professor from the university invited me to come and teach, not the Bible, but cross-cultural communication. And he told me, all the young people in this nation are so tired of the priestly government and of Islam. You cannot speak the gospel to them, but between the sessions, they would like to hear. So pray for me. I might go there next year. But what I'm trying to communicate is, the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. I was born in China. I remember the story, 1949, when Mao Zedong took over and there was a communist revolution and missionaries were chased out and my parents weren't able to go back. And he said, I will, he said that he would finish the church of God. He would eliminate it. He would stop the gospel. He would burn churches. And at the end of his reign, there would be no Christian left in China. At that period, the historians tell us there were 700,000 Christians in China after all these years of missionary work. 700,000. Then Mao Zedong came, and a period of persecution, burning churches, stopping, taking pastors, putting them in prison. As you all know, the persecution started to eliminate the body of Christ, the Church of God. But one day, Mao Zedong, he was gone. And you hear what happened to the Church of Christ when he was gone. Do you know that there were more than 50 million Christians in China when Mao Zedong was buried? There were 700,000, but God changed the situation. Today there's more than 150 million Christians in China. And people tell us that China is becoming the most Christian nation in the world. When Christianity came to Uganda, for more than 150 years ago, there's a Scottish missionary called Alexander Mackay from the Anglican Church in Scotland. He came down under a king called King Mutesa. The king was very kindly to him and to the first Catholic missionaries who came, so he welcomed them. But after King Mutesa died, his son Kabaka Mwanga took over, and he had a different spirit. He started one of the greatest persecutions in history of Africa. The first young Catholics, 18-year-old boys, were taken and wrapped in mats, straw mats, and were set ablaze because he wanted to eliminate Christianity. But the story is told that when this was in a public gathering, when these young Christians were burnt to death, they were praising Jesus. And instead of the people turning away from God, they ran to Jesus. And Alexander Mackay, he told me in his story that in the years of those persecution under Kabaka Mwanga, people would come to him at night from the king's palace and knock on his door and say, "Can you pray for me tonight? I want to be saved." And he prayed for many of the staff in the palace. And they all told him, "We're not leaving tonight before you baptize us." And you know, he was not able to stop the word of God and the body of Jesus Christ. And today, Jesus is continuing to do his work. 100 years later, a dictator called Idi Amin came to Uganda. Maybe you heard of him. And a persecution started. He threw many Christians in the river to the crocodiles. He persecuted them. And at that time, they had a Christian, a bishop in the Anglican church called Festo Kivenjere. He wrote a book that said, "I love Idi Amin." And people said, "How could you love a murderer, a dictator, a brutal man like him?" And then he said, "The love of Christ compels me to love my enemies." And the Church of God survived. And the Church of God will survive in any situation, any circumstance in the world. Hallelujah. But we need, in times of crisis, to come together to build bridges instead of walls of respect and honor so we can honor each other. I came to one city under my last trip in Tanzania. This was in southwestern part of Tanzania, a city called Sumbawanga, where witchcraft prevailed more than in any other city. And we came the day before our conference, where we usually have all these pastors come together. And they had arranged it to be in a Lutheran church. When it came the day before, I heard that the Pentecostals and Charismatics, they wouldn't go to the Lutheran church. And they were the majority. So I sat down and I said, "What can we do?" Because I knew the enemy was trying to disturb what God wanted to do. So I asked the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, and the Catholics, "What if we make it and have it in the Pentecostal church? They have a big, huge church seated 3,000 people. Would you come tomorrow?" And I said, "Yes, all of them would come." So the next day, all of them came. We had 106 leaders. And I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to do something I hadn't done before. He was a Lutheran pastor, the Anglican pastor, and the Catholic, those three denominations. And I went over to them and stood in front of them, and in African manner, I held my heart here, or I'm going to pull that one and I said, "I have the deepest respect and honor for you. And I know that the Pentecostal missionaries were not the first to come to this nation. The first missionaries who came were the Catholics. Then there was a period where Germany had occupied East Africa. And with the Germans, the Lutherans came. After the Second World War, the British won the war and took over East Africa. And with the British, the Anglicans came, you see. And this happened years before even the first Pentecostals came. So I have the deepest respect," I told them, "because you cleared the bush, you plowed the ground, you sowed the seed, and you reaped the first harvest. We are standing on your shoulders. And please forgive us. Forgive us that we have the ideas that we often have about our brothers and sisters who became the first martyrs in this nation. And as soon as I said that, my Pentecostal bishops, they're bishops in Africa, all of them, I heard, they're starting sobbing. And I stood to their feet and came over and said, please forgive us that we even wouldn't come to your building yesterday. And there was a spirit of unity. And this is happening all over. But sometimes, I mean, God has to deal with our pride.
That's right. Come on. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on.
I usually tell them, I was born in China. In China, you eat with chopsticks. You know that? Any of you tried eating chopsticks? If you want to lose weight, they give you one chopstick. Well, the Chinese eat with chopsticks. The African, they use their hands. There was one pastor who said, this is the fivefold ministry when we eat with our hand. Other places, they use a spoon. In Europe, a fork and a knife. And often here I see people, they leave the knife and just use the fork. But the main thing is everybody gets the food they need and gets satisfied. No matter how you eat. What a revelation. And then I say, I come to churches where they pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Others pray very quietly. Others kneel down. But other places, people would dance and shout and scream, and others would roll around and under the chair. But all of them are worshipping the same Jesus. And what I have to do is respect. You remember the prophet Elijah? Actually, this is not my message. I don't know why I'm here. The prophet Elijah, when he fed and hid himself in the cave. Remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
And God came and wanted to encourage him. So first, there was an earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake, though he had been in earthquakes before. Then came a storm, and then came a fire. And God was not in the storm or fire. But then, you remember what happened? A still, small voice. And God was there. We tend to build our denominations on our experiences. Yeah. And if it had been today, we would have built a church called the Earthquake Church. Because we like the earthquakes. And if it's not an earthquake, we say God is not there.
Because he came in that,
So we have a meeting, a Sunday service, where God comes like an earthquake, and we expect it's going to be the same next Sunday. Are you getting me?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have storm churches. We like the storm.
Yeah.
We have fire. We like the fire.
Yeah.
But we forget that God is in everything.
Yeah.
He's in the storm. He's in the fire. He's in the earthquake. Yeah. But he's also in the quiet, still voice.
Right.
I was having a youth conference in the western part of Tanzania at the border of Burundi. 3,000 young people. I was teaching about the Holy Spirit. And when I finished my preaching, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I lifted my hand. I was standing just in front of the wall outside the church because there's not room for the people inside the church. And the wall was here behind me. And I lifted my hands and I just said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the reaction frightened me. It was like an earthquake. The Holy Spirit came like on the day of Pentecost. And there was a rushing mighty wind. And I was blown by the wind. Up, so I stood against the wall. The noise was so loud that I wanted to take up my hands and hold my ears. But I couldn't because of the pressure. All of them were baptized in the Spirit in one day. It was powerful. A week later, I was in a Lutheran church at the coast in a city called Bagamoyo. The church was about the fourth of this building because it's in a Muslim area. the pastor told me when we're going to enter the church that I should go with him. And he told me that we're going to walk slowly. And this is what we did. Walked up the aisle. Very different than the revival the previous week. And it was so quiet. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Don't be deceived, because I am here exactly as I was in Biharo the other week. You saw the power there, and here you experience the quietness, but I am in the still voice, and I am here." And I felt the Spirit of God embrace me. And we had a fantastic gathering where these Lutheran believers who lived in a Muslim area were encouraged to live for Jesus. So what I'm trying to communicate is, my God, hallelujah, let him do what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. Let's not set limits, and let's not say we in our church would like it to be in this manner. We are very cultivated, would like it to be like this. Let the Lord do what he wants to do. And let's open our ears and our hearts for every manifestation of the Holy Spirit, no matter what he does and how he comes. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I get carried away. Brothers and sisters, it's an honor for me to come here today. I wouldn't have been able to even to stand before a congregation before. I thought my ministry was over after 40 years. I thought my identity was gone. I thought I'd never be able to preach. But God did a miracle. So I know when I'm standing, it's by the grace of God. But I have seen so many miraculous things, even since I restarted in ministry. And what I told you about Gary, my brother here, that's only one. I have seen the body of Christ come together. And the result of the Christians praying together, you can never, never think it out with your head, with your brain. We are here. I don't know what your challenges are in your life, in your city, in your nation. But I would like to share my heart and tell you, our God is a spirit, is a God of unity. And when we stand together and respect each other and honor each other, God can do the greatest miracles and America can experience an awakening again. And even a greater awakening than in the years behind us. God is the God of the future, not only of the past. My heart cries out when I come to a nation to see God touch the whole nation. And don't think we're just a little congregation in North County, California. You know, God can use you to change the situation, not only in this county, but in the whole nation. He can let the Spirit of God come and do incredible things through you. I've seen he took up a wretch like me. He filled me with his love. And I know the only thing I have today is the love of God. And I believe one of the great challenges in our world today is the Muslim world. I'll never forget the night between the 9th and 10th of November, 1989, I was sitting at home in Denmark watching TV, and I saw how they started to tear down the Berlin Wall. The wall that had separated East and West for so many years. The wall that had separated families from meeting each other because of this. And then a change happened. And no one had thought that God was going to tear down the reign of the communists in the world. But it happened. And as I was sitting there, suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, as you have seen, the fortress of communism being teared down, you will see the next thing that's going to happen is the fortress of Islam is going to be conquered in the world.
Amen. Amen.
I believe it with all my heart. No matter how harsh the circumstances they look, no matter how many killings the Islamic states are going to do, no matter how radical the Islamists are turning, my God, He is greater.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He loves them. And through love, through signs and miracles. Do you know in Tanzania, Muslim priests are coming to the churches with their demon-possessed wives. There's no medicine. There's no doctor. There's no religious priest who can drive out demons. But they come to the Christians and they drive out the demons and the wife and the husband get saved.
Amen.
It's happening right now.
Amen.
Because there is a power in the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right.
We have the name of Jesus as we were singing about. The name of Jesus is the most powerful weapon we have.
Hallelujah.
Let's be courageous and let's use the name of Jesus in our prayers, in our proclamation, whatever we do. And He wants to work through us by the name of Jesus. So you're so rich when you have Jesus. You have the greatest name of all. I have seen what the name of Jesus can do in society. I have seen people wanted to kill me. I have really stood in front of robbers who had weapons, the AK-47s, that wanted to eliminate me and my family. But the power of the Holy Spirit that came and walked away from the road. I have seen great things. I could tell you stories about that. And I believe just mentioning the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is going to do something. That's going to affect the world. So don't give up. Don't let the dark skies around you make you depressed. Don't let what's happening in the political world touch your heart so much that you become afraid of the future. Our God is higher than all the political systems of the world. Our God is higher than all the boundaries that we make in our nation and also the boundaries we have in our churches and denomination. Our God is over them. And when He looks at us, He sees one body. He's even colorblind. He doesn't see the colors. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I won't go into preaching today. I just want to share my heart. But I'd like for us to pray together for this nation, for this area. Would you like to see God coming and intervening? Would you like to see God coming and doing what no man thinks can be done here? Would you like to kiss? If you want to see that, if you really have a passion, and if you want that God should use you, no matter how old you are, do you know that? I don't know if you remember the legion called Albert Schweitzer. Have you heard about that doctor missionary in Africa? When he was 92 years old, over 90, he gathered his family and said, I just want to know you and to tell you that I'm going back to Africa. Over 90 years old, so I want to encourage you. And his family said, but grandfather, you are so old. And then he said, I still have a vision. If you have a vision, you never grow too old.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Because you can even meet young people, years of 20, 21, if they don't have a vision, they're already grown old. If you have a vision for America, if you have a vision, or if you don't have, God can give you. Can we all stand? Could we gather a little closer so we can hold hands? You can come up here. You can fill the aisles. You can... Oh. I have a burden even for this nation. God. Let's cry out to God and say, God, forgive us.
Yes, forgive us.
that we have separated us from each other as a body of Christ. Forgive us, we built our walls so high that no one could climb over them. Help us to tear down the walls and build bridges of, yes, of unity in order to save the nation. Yes, yes. It's not a matter of me and my denomination and my congregation. It's a matter of the nation. Yes. It's a nation. We need to pray for the nation. Hallelujah. Shall we just, you lead us just in worship, and as Gary leads us in worship, let's just cry out to God. Let's ask Him to forgive our sins. Let's ask Him to unite us in unity, and then He will forgive our sins and He will heal the land. Yes.